You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Welcome to episode 35 of That's Awesome with Joe. I am Joe. Thank you guys for being here. Not a ton to say today. I just want to talk very quickly about who we got on. We have Johnny from the band Kingdom of Giants. Kingdom of Giants is a band from Northern California. They have been pretty consistently active over the last 10 years and have been definitely one of the bands that I keep seeing their name around everywhere. And I had heard of their music here and there before, but after we booked them on the podcast, that was when I really kind of dove in, and stuff is really, really good. So I was looking forward to talking with Johnny, and he was great to talk to. So put out an album last year in October called Passenger. Thing is great. Give it a spin. But yeah, won't spend too much time. Let's just send it on over to the interview. Okay, I am here with Johnny from Kingdom of Giants. Johnny, thank you so much for coming on and joining us.
Hey, what's up, man? Thanks for having me.
Of course. Why don't we just start off? Why don't you give us just a little bit of background about yourself, where you're from, and a little background on the band and where the band's from, all that kind of stuff, and then we'll kind of just dive in to whatever.
Sure, yeah, of course. Well, I'm Johnny. I play bass. I sing in the band. I'm the newest member in the band. They're all pretty much original members, minus me. I kind of came in a few years ago. We're all from like pretty much California, except for Dana.
Okay.
He's the lead vocalist. He's from Connecticut, East Coast. But yeah, we're all from California. Like, we all kind of went to high school together. And just
what,
like,
area?
Sacramento. Well, that's where I'm from. But we all kind of grew up in a rural town outside of Sacramento called Jackson.
So you guys frequenters of the boardwalk?
Oh yeah, dude. Yeah. The boardwalk was like one of our staple venues growing up. Yeah. Along with, like, you know, Club Retro was like another one. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you ever visited there.
Oh, yeah. I actually spent a good amount of time in Sacramento. I used to be an agent for Artery.
Oh,
so
wow.
I like,
okay.
Know that. Yeah, I know. And I know you guys were with Artery for a bit too. I think, I don't remember. Was it Imran were you with, or? I don't remember. One of the agents that was there.
Yeah, I think it was like this kind of unofficial, they were working with Artery for a second thing. And like,
right.
I don't know if it ever actually, like, you know, really took weight.
I don't know either, but I know I did book a tour that Kingdom of Giants was on. And I don't know. I know it was, the Kingdom of Giants was not my band or whatever, but like, I don't know what ended up happening with the agent or regardless. But yeah, I know the areas where you're
okay,
from.
Okay, sick, man. Yeah. So you know, we had like Ace of Spades and like, I think, I can't remember the other venue he had at the time. Yeah, Eric Rushing or whatever. But yeah, you know, so
it was like,
we all grew up just, you know, going.
What was that one that's like, there's one that's like upstairs. It's a great little
there's
spot.
One Holy Diver.
That's
Holy Diver,
one.
Is that the one you're talking about? Yeah, dude, that's the latest one.
I love that spot.
You know, it's been closed down, of course. But yeah, like, can't wait for that shit to open back up. It's a dope venue. It's my favorite one here in town.
Yeah, it's great. Except that load in must suck.
Oh, dude, yeah. And sometimes, like, I'll work as a hand, like a stage hand there too, and like, I'll just be lugging, like, you know, huge like light boxes up there, and I'm just like, holy crap, like, this was not made for this type of shit.
I remember. Have you played Smiling Moose in Pittsburgh?
Nah, I don't think so, to be honest.
It's just like a very similar load in. Those two venues always remind me of each other.
Yeah, there's more venues out there with stairs than you would like to believe, you know. It's like,
yeah, dude,
unfortunate.
We like just did one of the craziest ones was I mean, it's not actually that crazy, but I guess on our, the venues that we were in, we were doing, I think it was either Dallas or Houston House of Blues, but the elevators broke like midway through the show.
Oh no.
So, and it was like a couple flights at least of like a full tour packages shit, like lighting production, like lighting trusses, everything going up like this narrow staircase. It was
What a nightmare.
Yeah, insane.
Yeah, like House of Blues elevator, like downstairs below in Chicago, you know, that one's crazy. Oh my God,
dude, we just talked about the Chicago House of Blues on one of the recent episodes about the, do you know the, what was the band, Josh?
Dave Matthews.
The,
yeah,
the Dave Matthews band incident.
Who doesn't know about Dave Matthews, but no, what happened with...
So do you know how Chicago is like a city on top of a city and it's all like the graded streets and everything?
Yeah.
And there's like bridges like that too. And apparently the Dave Matthews tour bus emptied their septic tank on one of those bridges above a tour boat. So it like drenched.
Oh, one of those like tour trolley. Oh my God.
Yeah, dude.
I think I did read something about that. Oh my God, dude.
What, so you, crazy.
What do they even do? How do they go after you for something like that? It's like,
I mean,
you shit all over us, know. Man.
That's insane. That's crazy. All right. Anyway, so you mentioned you're the newest member in the band, right? You're bass and vocals. I'm in the same boat in my band. Bass and vocals, newest member. So there we
Way
go.
Way sick. Okay.
Way sick.
This is meant to happen. I got you.
So how long have you been with it? You said 2017, was it?
Yeah, just at the end of 2016, I like unofficially joined, and then like, when they dropped their new album, at the time in 2017, All the Hell You Got to Spare, they kind of rolled out the announcement with me in there, and like, but it totally went unnoticed. It was pretty funny. Like, so like everybody's still
That's like how mine was too.
Everybody's still getting used to me being in it, and they're like, who's this guy?
Yeah.
Why is he singing? You know, like,
yeah.
It's kind of funny.
If you're not the front man, it doesn't really matter, you know?
Yeah.
Like the front man.
Totally.
Dude, see, like, I joined mine and
that's fine.
I do too. I totally prefer it that way. Like, I get, that's what I was, I've said this on a few other episodes too. Like, the fact that I wear like full makeup when I play, like, makes me even more anonymous because I can just like go in the crowd after.
That's so
without
true.
The makeup and no
I would
one
be
knows.
Like way confident and like you're just, you know, like behind a mask, you know, and you're just like, no one
great.
Knows who the fuck I am.
That's great. We did a test one time just to see, like, we were on tour with Falling in Reverse, and right immediately after I played, I took off the makeup and then went to the merch table. And people were buying merch and not a single person recognized me.
Yeah, they're like,
it
oh,
great.
It's the merch guy. You know, we can be rude to him. It's cool.
Yeah. All right, but let's talk about you. So you joined the band in 2017.
Yeah.
Or late 2016. What had you been doing up until that point?
I had, well, kind of taken a hiatus from like some music and touring and stuff. Mm-hmm. I was in another band like 3 years previous to that. And we did some touring and like signed with Media Scare Records at the time. It was a pretty
nice,
huge deal. You know what I'm saying? No, I was kidding.
Yeah.
But no. And so, you know, we got a little bit of traction. We were called Reformers. We were from out of like San Jose.
Yeah, I remember
like
that
Bay
name.
Area. And we were like a hardcore, like kind of evangelical, like Christian band. You know, like we had a message in between like the set and everything. Like our vocalist, you know, was kind of a preacher in a way. He's a preacher's son. So
Really?
Yeah. So like that was our thing, you know, and that's what we were doing at the time. And then it just
kind of
like,
interesting, like I'm thinking of like a preacher. I mean, it just makes sense to front a metal band.
Yeah. I mean,
it's kind of the same shit, right?
In my opinion, yeah. Like, it's like he's almost has a sermon each song, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just like he's just animated and he's just
very animated.
Selling the sermon, very charismatic, you know?
Right.
But yeah, and like, it was a good time, you know? And like, we were having a blast. Out there on the road.
What made you want to take a hiatus from like just music in general?
Well, like, you know, my like my beliefs and everything and my faith with the band, and was kind of starting to clash a little bit, you know, like there were things that like I didn't agree with lyrically, that we were writing and stuff, and that, you know, I didn't really have a say in, but it's just like, I don't know, I just felt like it wasn't representing me totally 100% right. and everything. And so I kind of just slowly like felt the conviction of that, where I had to be more true to myself and everything. And so I kind of slowly started distancing a little bit, but then what really tipped it over like the edge was like my dad passed away randomly, just out of nowhere. And oh, so like, yeah, no, thanks, man. Shit happens. But so yeah, it was just like, I came back from a tour. We were about to go back out in like a month. And I just hit them up and I was just like, look, guys, I got to sit this one out. I think, you know, just be home with family and stuff. And then over the course, they kind of like got the hint too that I was kind of distancing myself a little bit. And I thought they would keep going for sure, you know, and just like keep rocking. I was just the bass player, you know, it wasn't too big a deal. But I think they were all kind of feeling a little burnt out too, you know, like, and so it just kind of, it just fizzled out. And
but no desire to like just start a new thing or anything.
I mean, two of the brothers that started the band originally, really, they went on and like they've kept doing music, but they went more of a like a pop R&B route with it, you know, and started like just ghostwriting for like a bunch of different artists and stuff. And nobody like too notable that I could really name drop. But yeah, they stuck with it. The vocalist, the preacher's son, he actually is a winemaker now in Michigan. And so just random, you know, it's just, they had other hobbies on the side and they just went after those instead. And I was just like, all right. You know? So it was like a couple years of me like chilling back and not doing the music. I picked up like an Apple computer and started dabbling like with production and audio and stuff.
Yeah.
In my off time.
It's funny, dude. I asked you that because I went through the same exact thing.
Okay.
Well, minus like the, I guess the catalyst of it all, but my band that I had been touring with for like 8 or 9 years, we just got burnt out. We stopped. We actually recorded a whole new album under a different name, but never released it. And we never really spoke about it. It's just there. And it just stopped. And then I just stopped doing music for like 3 years until I got the offer to join Ice Nine, you know?
That's so nice, I get it. Cause that's 3 years. That's exactly what it was. Yeah. It was
just like, totally get it.
And it's, I was like, totally ready to, after that 3 years, I was just like, man,
like, yeah, you're jonesing.
I hope somebody hits me up. Yeah. You know, or like, I got to start something, but like trying to start something for yourself from the ground up is a little daunting, you know? So I was
it totally like, is, especially like you start feeling your age more, right?
Oh shit. Yeah. Then there's that.
Right.
But,
cause I went through that same thought process, but I wasn't even like, I had to get like kind of coerced into doing it a little bit. I wasn't very, like, I didn't know how badly I wanted to do it until I did it. And then I was like, this is fucking awesome.
And I mean, to join an outfit that seems like, you know, has their shit together, like Ice Nine Kills, you know, it was probably, it was a very convincing, very, you know, you're like, okay, that's kind of, that's kind of how
made it daunting in itself though.
Yeah, that's true too. Luckily, like, I joined up with KOG and like they weren't doing like massive tours yet or anything, so I got a little lucky with just being able to like slowly ease into like touring, you know. They weren't huge tours, you know, they were still like very like, you know, B and C venues and shit, you know. But
so when you joined, what was the so you said you joined during like the process of them releasing that album.
They'd already recorded the whole album, tracked it. Everything. So
it was done.
Yeah.
And then you just started hitting the road. Like was it just like start of a touring cycle as soon as you joined?
Pretty much. Well, like, within a few months they had a tour booked. It was with a band called Capture from Australia. And like they were, rebranding. They like changed their name from Capture Something or Capture the Something. I can't remember. And
one of those bands.
And like they just rebranded to just Capture. And then we were like, okay, sick. And then like we were about to go out with them. And I think that was an Artery Global thing.
Oh, this was the Capture the Crown.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
That's, I remember that tour.
Yeah. And so they like, they couldn't get their visas apparently though in the end. And then like, I think a couple, like 3 weeks or a month before the tour was set to start, they canceled the tour, you know? And so
the worst.
So I was like, you know, working a job and I was just getting all amped up, ready to get back on the road. And I was just like, this is a pretty big deal, you know, like this first tour.
Yeah.
So, and then it just drops. So then I was like, oh shit. Okay. So then it, another like 3 months went by, you know, until we got something else. Yeah. So, but it was, you know, whatever, just it happens, you know, like sometimes shit will fall through and then you're like, all right, I got more time to prepare for the next thing. No big deal.
Right. So, right. You know, it's funny. I think you joined right after our drummer, Patrick, had TM'd you guys.
Yeah. Come to think of it, that was pretty much my first tour, and I was hoping we'd get a chance to mention good old Pat, but
yeah
he TM'd for us on my first tour, and that was
you were on that tour.
Yeah, that was the very first tour I did back.
I couldn't figure out the timeline exactly. I was trying to figure it out this morning.
He
said that your guys' tour habits in terms of your health, very like so much contrasts his. So I know what his are.
Yeah.
So I can imagine that you guys are you guys like just working out all the time and like staying super fit?
Yeah. When he joined the tour with us to TM and everything. Yeah. Like we were very like focused. We were very dialed on like, you know, we're not going to let touring get to us and like get all out of shape and like, you know, ruin our bodies and like, yeah, just like screw us up for like years to come. And so, and I don't know, like I've just always kind of grown up. My mom was very like holistic, I would say. And so like, she's like always like ingrained, just a good, you know, like diet in my head. And so when I'm like not getting that, I am like kind of out of whack, you know? So I just like, I try to keep it, you know, a good balance on tour, but Dana, the vocalist,
that's something I wish I had done a lot.
It's tough, dude. And like that first band that I was telling you about, Reformers, like I did not try whatsoever. Like, and that's kind of how
it's
like
difficult.
I screwed myself up and I put on weight and I just felt like a piece of shit. So I was like, all right, going back out on the road, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to try it their way. And their way is like, they do like this bulletproof coffee diet, you know, and I don't know.
Oh, they're on that shit.
Yeah, it gained some popularity for sure. Like right when I joined the band, people started to kind of get the buzz on it. But yeah, like they throw huge sticks of butter in their coffee with like no sugar. And like they just like blend that shit up. And like they do a lot of fasting, which is cool. Like, cause background, I had like fasting, like from growing up, my mom would have us do that because she read it in a health book and had us do it, you know. So, and so I was kind of used to that and I kind of liked it anyway. So, but, so
I tried that for a minute.
And dude, honestly, like fasting,
it's hard. I'm vegan too. And it was just too difficult being vegan because I just wasn't eating enough calories.
It's really tough. And like, I mean, you get so busy in the day anyways, like I hardly have enough time to eat a proper balanced, you know, diet
super
right now
difficult
anyways,
on tour.
But, dude,
so
yeah.
Let me ask you this. In your first band, the one where you were not being mindful of that stuff.
Yeah, what's
up? Cuz I'm thinking back to what I was doing. What were you eating back then when you were like roughing it?
Oh man, I'm embarrassed by this, but
I'll tell you mine too, so don't feel embarrassed. Mine have gotta be worse.
I've come a long way, but dude, this was like at the height of like that McDonald's craze of like the McChurger, where you know, just like the McChicken and the McDouble, dude, and just like you're on a budget. You're balling on a budget, and so, like it's like Taco Bell or the McChurger or the McHeavenly or whatever you wanted to call it.
We definitely did a lot of McChurgers. I had go-tos of we like got really, my band got really good at being on the road because we were spending like 8 months out of the year on the road in the van and trailer. So we built like a little living area in like the side door of our trailer with like a microwave and a hot stove thing.
Dope.
And everything.
I've seen some
of those.
We would
do we would do canned chicken and mac and cheese.
Okay.
A lot,
there you go.
Which was like a great treat. you know?
Honestly, yeah, that's, done that once or twice.
When
I started to kind of get a little smarter. Yeah. Like the instant rice. I like that. Instant rice
is great. Yeah. Well, the Ben's like bag rice, right?
That yeah. The 90 the second. Yeah. The 90 second. Fantastic. Rice, yeah. Dude.
I would do, peanut butter sandwiches, but with the dry noodles from the ramen packs.
Just crunched in the middle in there. Seasoning just, or
no season. the bread was the
oh
noodles.
Shit okay
the dry noodles, so it would just be peanut butter smeared on dry noodles.
Damn.
And then sometimes I'd sprinkle some seasoning on it
too. Just to spice it up.
It's fucking disgusting.
Hey, yeah, I mean, I'm not past trying that on tour for sure though. You know?
Oh yeah,
you're just already in a state of like, you know, desperation, and you're just like,
we did a lot of like,
just bring that over here, things. I'm gonna try that.
Yeah, just write that one down. It's a good one. We used to do a lot of things like that just to see. It was almost like a way to have more camaraderie, is just seeing who could eat like the worst shit.
Yeah, it was fun. You know, you're bored. You're just like, oh, that's so nasty. But that was, you know, that's so tight.
Yep. Yep. It's fun stuff. All right. So you're roughing it in that band. You joined Kingdom of Giants.
Yeah.
So what was the first tour you ended up doing with them?
That was, the first tour with Pat actually was that Afterlife, Currents, and another California band from the Bay Area called Criminals. And it was like a shorter run, only like 2.5 weeks, I think. It was, yeah, it was just like a tiny little... But we ended up meeting up with another tour at the end of that. So it ended up being a long thing in the end for us. But for like 2.5 weeks, they jumped on. It was kind of funny, too, because they were, for the first 4 days of the tour, they actually like bailed on us because like Mosta Flames ended
they
up
bailed on
booking
you?
Currents and Afterlife for a tour of theirs. And so they were like, hey, we're going to do the first... or the last 4 days of the tour, you know, like meet up with the first 4 days of our tour with you guys.
Yeah.
But we're going to finish out the other tour. Sorry. You know, and we're just like, oh, okay. So
well,
like,
if it means anything, we did an interview with Zach from like Mosta Flames that this program didn't record. So we totally bailed on them.
Oh, dang. All right.
So there you go.
We're kind of even then, I guess, you know, but
I got to get him back on.
No, I remember like everybody just being like, all right, like, you know, it's gonna be weird with them joining the tour after 4 days, and like we're already all buddy buddied up with the rest of the package, and then these newcomers. No, it totally wasn't like that though. And
yeah, that's good.
It totally wasn't a big deal, but yeah, it was just the first 4 days they weren't there, and then they showed up 4 days later, and then the tour was like way sick, like just,
yeah, that's great.
Dope bands to tour with. They were all of us were kind of just like, you know, fresh and ready to get at it and stuff. Yeah. And so it was a good time.
So you did, that was off of, you were touring off of the All the Hell You've Got to Spare, right?
Yes.
At that point. And then, so let's fast forward a little bit, cause I want to talk about the more relevant things with the, or at least this now stuff. So you released Passenger last year.
Yep.
Right.
Last fall, last October.
Right. Last fall. Now, this was the first album that you, did you write on this one?
Yeah, this album I'm actually involved in, had a pretty heavy hand in writing a few of the songs, musically and vocally, all the choruses and like, you know, the singing and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so this album is the first album that I actually got to be like a part of in the studio and creatively. And like, so that was
who'd
like,
who did you guys do it with?
Super special for me. This we actually did with a good friend here in Sacramento. He was our engineer on a couple tours. His name is Matt Thomas, and his studio is called Ashtone Audio.
Oh yeah,
and he's responsible for like the Darko. He's doing like the new Darko record, which is like Tom from Chelsea Grin's new project with Josh Miller. He's responsible for our record, a couple other things, but our record was the first signed band that he's ever really done. But he does a lot of mixes for like this live channel called BVTV, and Caliber TV, and they do like live performances. They do live performances all over Warped Tours. So I think they did one for you guys, and right. I think he would have been the one that.
Oh, did they?
I think he would have been the one that mixed the audio if they did one for you guys. I don't know that it got approved. Very I don't know cool. if you guys released it, but I know that they did film a set of yours, and I think
was it recent?
It had to have been in the last, well, they didn't film it within like the last year. They probably filmed it in the last two years ago. Huh. And they're just getting around to like using all the footage that they had from the Warped Tours. So they probably hit you
can't
guys
wait
up.
To see it.
Yeah. I mean, they probably hit you guys up to try to get it approved. I don't know if it did, but he mixed some of the audio for it. Yeah.
I don't know. I know nothing about what's going on.
Dude.
So out of loop. Josh
me,
knows.
I don't
he
either,
has to take
so.
Care of everything.
Okay. Very nice.
So this album, we and Josh were talking about it before we jumped on with you, going mm-hmm. through some of these songs. I'm gonna give you a little background about what I know of your band too, right?
Okay.
So like I said before, I have known of the band for quite some time because of my relationship with Artery and just seeing, you know, that was like the circle of tours I was booking, like that level of tours. So you were always in the conversation. So I was familiar with the music. I didn't know that you had released this album until Josh had booked it, booked
okay.
the interview.
Nice.
We listened to a few songs. I fucking love Night Shift.
Nice. Yeah.
That song rules.
That's it's a favorite one of mine too.
Yeah. It just gets me because I'm just such a sucker for synthwave shit, and like it's just blended very well with your style. That's
yeah.
it's such a cool song.
That's true.
When you were writing this, I really did. When you were writing this album, was there like a conscious effort to kind of bring in other styles like that?
Totally. And like, yeah. It was kind of like funny. Like I thought about this earlier and thought if I was going to end up mentioning it, but yeah, like we were in the UK, on an off day one day, and like we all went to the movie theater and watched Blade Runner 2049. Mm. And like, we all mm-hmm. just like, were like blown away with the sounds, you know, and like the score of the movie, you know, and just all these crazy, like synthy, you know, vibes and stuff. And like
right.
somebody just, I think our guitar player Max, like threw it out there. He's just like, maybe we should just do like a synthwave metal album, you know, the next. And we were just like, maybe, you know, and like, we just, you know, shrugged it off. Like, but
yeah,
it totally grew from just watching that movie in the UK that one day. We were just like, all right, yeah, we're going to do a synthwave like album. So yeah, with that in mind, we totally tried to do a synthwave metal album. We're also huge fans of like The Midnight and, you know, like
I was just going to ask that.
The new synthwave like movement.
They're
and
like
stuff.
My favorite.
Like, yeah, dude. They're just so good at like bringing that shit back and
yeah,
you know, doing it a really
just,
cool
like,
way.
Over the last couple years, just been so enamored by like airy synth pop and like saxophone.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know.
They just fucking crush it.
I can't speak for everybody, but yeah, it just like speaks to me in a different way. The saxophone and like the you know, the tones you get out of the synths and
yeah.
everything, you know,
it's so cheesy, it rules.
Yeah, that's it's so cheesy, but you feel like you're in like a movie, you know, it's so tight.
Yeah, it's such a vibe. It's great. So I'm definitely stoked to dive into this album more.
Yeah.
But let's talk about like what your plans are now, because I know everything's kind of up in the air.
Yeah,
we were just talking about this before you jumped on too, like Josh is getting vaccinated next week, right?
Oh, congratulations. Yep.
So that's pretty
this
exciting.
Week, Thursday,
and we were kind of this week,
nice.
Yeah,
which is cool. But we were talking about like, what is it
well.
Like, we've been talking about, you know, at this point, I don't know what your situation was, but we've had so many tours canceled, pushed back, rescheduled, all of that stuff, right? You guys just put out this album. So I imagine you're pretty, angsty to get out there and start touring on it.
Yeah.
What do you have any plans right now, or is everything still kind of just waiting to see how things line up?
Yeah. I mean, like you were saying, you know, a few plans kind of came and went, and you know, just like rumors of like some tours happening. I think we actually like announced a Fit for a King Invent, Animate, and
yeah, that's the
one other band tour, right? The European tour. Yeah, and that's, I don't know that that is 100% happening or not. I haven't gotten like a full confirmation from it.
And Josh, is it happening?
I don't know.
Josh is like a Fit for a King like super fan, so he knows everything.
Yeah.
It's announced though, right? It's not canceled.
I haven't heard anything about cancellation, but I also didn't hear anything further after they had that one announcement, you know, and I follow all of them on Twitter, you know, and so just from the general like undertone, they don't seem psyched about promoting that one tour. So I don't,
I think everyone's a little hesitant to do it, but that, that's not for until later this year, right? Like fall.
That would be like, I think August, I think was when it was. Yeah.
I guess so. It's possible. I don't know. I'm like, I'm so back and forth about this thing now. Like I've heard some people say as soon as like May, and then other people say next summer, you know.
Yeah.
I have no idea how to like, I don't know, guess what the timeline would be for this stuff.
I know. It's really hard to tell. Like, just the more vaccines that go out, the more, I guess, under control we're going to have it. But like, if it's any consolation, like for me, I'm holding out for 2022. I think that that's really when things will, you know, we'll see things really start to open up and slowly start opening back up. I know here in California, Sacramento, maybe just this county, I don't know if it's like statewide or anything, but they made it legal to have small housed events again right now. And it's like
there.
A limit of like, only like 60 or something. It's a really small gathering that they're allowing you, I think, for churches, to be honest. I think that's so churches can meet back up.
Well, but you know what? I read this more. That's just Sacramento, because I'm in LA, and I don't think that can happen here. But
yeah, I think
I'm
it's
from,
just
I'm from the East Coast. I'm from Boston, and I was reading this morning that as of yesterday, I'm not saying I endorse this or agree with it or whatever, because I'm very confused by it and I'm curious about it, that they have, they're allowing venues to open at 50% with a limit of 500 people.
Ooh. I haven't
like
heard
my
anything.
My exact reaction. It's like,
ooh. I mean, I'm like, that gets me a little excited, but yeah, I don't know how to take that yet. I don't know.
Right. It's like, you know? I don't know if I would go to that. Like there's, I mean, I can tell you no fucking way would I be in the crowd.
Yeah.
Right.
No.
And I'd then be up on the I don't know if I would feel comfortable being the person on the stage either.
Yeah. That's another thing. That's another factor that you got to think about. And it's even happened a little bit when I'm just going out to like some of these open dining areas, you know, it still feels like you're a little vulnerable out there, you know,
it
still feels a little weird to be out. So
well, it's also, you don't want to put any negative press or light on your band
by
like going
that especially,
being too
yeah.
eager. Right.
Yeah. And I think that's why it seems to me that like the industry is kind of gearing up for 2022. I think things will be a little more relaxed, you know?
Yeah.
That's just my opinion.
I think you're right.
I think
that's the, at least it's the, whether or not it turns out to be correct or not, at least it's anything sooner would be a great surprise, right?
Yeah,
so if you bank on the later one or next year, then could be pleasantly surprised.
Playing it safe. Yeah.
Yes. So let's talk real quick. This album that you guys put out, is this your first one with Sharptone?
Yeah. Yeah, let's talk about Sharptone, man.
Yeah, let's, because I feel like Sharptone is like becoming so fucking stacked. Like,
dude, yeah. And it's,
what a cool label.
It's honestly, I think, just attributed to how dope Sean and his wife Beth are, you know, and just like just their attitudes and like their approach in the industry. It just works with everybody, you know, it's dope.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, they totally hit us up, because our manager Jason Mejot at the time was good homies with them, and just had a relation, you know, working relationship with him. And he hit us up and was just like, what's up with KOG, you know? And at the time we were still in contract with En Vogue Records with Nick. And, you know, they just kind of left it open-ended, you know, conversation, like, you know, what's going on with them? And so Jason let us know, you know, like later that week, and we were just like, you know, yo, what could we do to make that happen for sure, you know? And so we just really brainstormed, and with the help of some buddies of ours that had found a way to exit off En Vogue, they let us, you know, they let us know how they did it. And so we...
I've been in that situation too.
Yeah, you know, we were just like, shoot, this might be our only way out. You know, if we want to try
what
something.
A shitty feeling.
Yeah, and I mean, like, it's like no hard feelings towards Nick.
Exactly.
It's just it was such an aggressive contract that he had them.
That's why it's so hard. It's like it's hard to, like, I don't know. Like, the music industry is so tight. Like, there's only so many people in it where, like, everyone knows each other. So it's hard not for everything to feel somewhat personal.
That's so true. And
even though it's not, like, it's really not, but people hold grudges, like, for really silly things, you know?
Oh, yeah. 1,000%. I agree with you on that. And But yeah, it was just like, you know, we're locked in with En Vogue for another 3 records. If we want to stay, then we do this, you know, and then we just stay.
That is
and
super aggressive.
Yeah.
Is it like a 5-album deal?
It was a 5-album deal. I didn't sign it. I wasn't a part of the band at the time, you know, so I was kind of just like on the outside and just being like, man, that's rough, you know, and like, what am I supposed to do, you know? So this was like kind of like the big, you know, if we can make this happen, like maybe we could see some, you know, extensive growth, maybe, you know, with a new label, like, me coming in as a new member, also taking over singing, you know, it was kind of a big deal on the new record, and like almost a rebranding. We thought about even changing the name for 2 seconds, not even gonna lie. But when Sean and all of us were able to work everything out and we got on with Sharptone, he was just like, nah, the name's cool. The name sticks, you know, and we were like, all right.
It is a cool, it is like a very catchy name.
Yeah. Sure. And I think he just liked, you know, what it represents now, and you know, the kind of what we've built it up to be already. So he didn't want to like totally trample that and, you know, end up, you know, screwing up and then people not accepting it well or whatever. So we just stuck with the name, we rolled with it. And ultimately I'm happy that we did that. But yeah, like, coming on with Sharptone, we kind of had to keep it hush for a year. You know, like a lot of the time when you leave a label, you go to the next label, there's a lot of implications that come with that. And so that was
especially this year with everything being so ambiguous with time.
Yeah. And this was like before 2020 had hit, anything had really surfaced, you know, about a pandemic. Mm-hmm. So like none of us saw the whole year, you know, like being so real shot. Actually, you know, I'm totally getting my timeline mixed up a little bit. It was 2019 was the hush year. 2020
is gonna be a bigger year. Were planning on like launching everything in 2020.
Yeah, exactly. Well, like the album drop and everything, as soon as 2020 hit, like January, we dropped like the single and announced, you know, the Sharptone thing. And you know, that's when, but no one even really that kind of went unnoticed too. that we had announced Sharptone until the album.
The world was probably a little preoccupied at the time.
Yeah, you know, and so like once the singles started dropping, that's when people were like, oh my God, yeah, like they have Kingdom of Giants now, like this label just gets better and better. And I was just like, oh, that made me feel good. But like,
yeah, dude,
it's such a dope label at the same time. It
really
has all
is.
My favorite bands to begin with. So it's just like, dang.
Right. I'm stoked for you guys. It seems like you're, jumping on the right label at the right time and putting out a great album at the right time too. Like I think sky's the limit.
Yeah, man. With I this appreciate stuff. That.
It's
just one of those things where things just worked out the right way, you know? And even though there's like little bumps, you know, throughout, you know, and you're like, oh crap, is this going to ruin the release or, you know, is this going to go, is this going to tank, you know, or whatever. It didn't. And the pandemic in a such a weird mixed blessing way, you know, like helped the record. The fact that everybody was in front of their phone, in front of their computer, you know, they were just people.
It's interesting how people have been able to take advantage of it, of that time off and everything.
1000%. Yeah. So like, you know, it's been a weird, interesting year, but yeah. And then having no tours, you know, for the first year and now looking like the second year of an album release, you know, is mm-hmm. going to be interesting. But you know, we got some stuff that we'll be working on, you know.
Great.
I can't even say definitively what that is, because like what you were saying earlier, I'm a little on the outside of like business stuff that happens. They'll let me know.
Yeah, dude, we're just bass players.
Exactly. You know,
literally, like, just write limited your strings,
write your like bass parts over input. There, and just be quiet. No.
Yeah. Yeah.
So no, I've been just busy writing more songs, dude. Like I'm sitting right now in my little home studio setup, and it's in this little giant closet. So giant closet. And yeah, I was just like, you know, I was going a little crazy, you know, not being able to play the shows.
I think I've been more prolific in the last year in terms of writing than I ever have been. So like,
yeah.
Yeah,
and I see a lot of other people too, this, you know, doing it. So.
Like, yeah, there'll be no shortage of music and content for the next couple years.
Yeah, and that's one good, like, you know, thing that we can draw out of all this is we're already getting such great content and like cool movies and like, you know, WandaVision and all this Marvel stuff, you know.
Yep.
I'm and so yeah, we're gonna be entertained for quite a while,
quite some time. Yeah.
And then come back to pair that, you know.
Yeah, that's the big
endless
one.
Endless entertainment.
I am super excited, like I said, to see where your band goes, what comes from this. And obviously we'll keep on top of it and share any information out on our socials and stuff. We're going to move to the last section of the episode. This is the one everyone knows, tour stories.
All right.
Yeah. So anything can be about anyone. Include anyone you want as long as you think they'd be okay with it. And if you don't think they'd be okay with it and you don't care, I'm okay with that too. Whatever you want to say. Yep.
Well, shoot, man.
What do you got for us?
Here, I'm going to check my notes here. I guess like the first one I would start with, just because it's like one of my craziest ones that I could like think of right now, was in that first band that I was talking about. And we were just like not doing huge tours, but we were doing a lot of like West Coast, like up and down to like Seattle and then to LA and back and stuff. And so, and there's a lot of crazy like mountain overpass, crazy highways that you drive up and down on the West Coast, especially through the North Pacific West or whatever. So, and my first band, we made the huge mistake of like buying a big ass RV. And like tricking it out to be able to haul all the gear inside the RV, but also had bunks. And so we thought we were hella cool. And we're getting like 4.5 miles to the gallon. And it was the dumbest thing you could ever do while trying to tour. But anyways, we were driving all night to get to like, I don't know, some crazy place in Oregon, like Bend or, you know, just some random town that you wouldn't normally tour through. And, I was the only one up and I was driving and like, it was hot. It was summer and like, it was really hot. I just remember it was really hot. So I was like pretty much butt naked. I was just like driving in the, front, like clothes off. I think I was just wearing like my boxers or something. And we were like going up a pretty steep, like, you know, hill for a cool minute. I got my hazards on and, you know, we're just cooking along, some cars behind us getting impatient, stuff like that, you know, the usual. But we get around this corner at the very top of this like hill that we're at, and there's like one of those road flaggers for construction, but there's also a sign right next to them that says that we're about to hit like a, like, I think it was like a 9% downgrade. And I was just like, okay, no big deal. So I'm going to press my brakes, dude, and nothing's happening. Like, we're too heavy. We're already in such like a decline state that like I can't stop. And so
that's like, so terrifying.
This guy's in the middle of the road, like has like, I think, a whistle, and he's like blowing it at me and he's like telling me to like stop. And I'm like, I'm trying, dude. I'm like naked in the driver's seat, basically, like trying to stop this huge RV. And finally, dude, I just like put everything I had with, I think maybe both feet even, into the brake pad, dude. And it locks up, but then the whole like brakes catch on fire and the whole front of the RV, dude, is in flames. And like,
oh my God. Holy shit.
Yeah, bro. And then like the rest of the RV, I'm yelling. I'm like, oh shit. Oh shit. You know, and like, I'm like tapping people behind me, like in the seat behind me and shit.
Yeah.
And like, they're waking up. They're also like, you know, butt naked basically too, because it's hot as hell. And they're frantically like not knowing what the hell is going on. And I'm just like, fire, fire. And the guy outside's yelling like fire too. And then like, so they're like just throwing shit all over the RV because I'm telling them to grab an extinguisher that we had above the door. But they're looking like everywhere but the door. And I'm like, right there, right there. And it's just taking forever for them to get it. And then like, finally, our merch dude just like busts out of the RV with this extinguisher and just starts dousing the front of the fucking RV, and like we put it
out.
Holy
fuck, man!
We put it out, thankfully, dude.
That's,
but there's
crazy.
Just like, there's just like five, you know, six dudes like in their fucking chonies, like fucking on the side of the road with their RV all like black.
Oh my god, that's,
you know,
a good
from,
one,
dude. It was nuts. And
that's
we,
a really good one.
We ended up, just getting to the show. Okay, we took it to Les Schwab, and like they fixed our brakes. So it was, that's the craziest thing too.
It was just brake damage. It just burned down the brake pads.
Yeah, it just burnt out the brake pads, and like the
gotta
lines,
use that second
the lines
gear.
Were fine. Oh, dude, yeah, like that was crazy. I was in first gear, like,
yeah,
it was. Yeah.
I learned so much about how like cars work.
Yeah,
from touring,
being out on the road, dude, you have to
like brake controllers, all that shit. Like I can like fix a trailer myself now.
Yeah, I'm, you like know? You ever had to change a leaf spring on a trailer, boys?
Oh yeah,
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 yep. Dude,
I had to replace our whole axle.
Oh my god. Yeah, yeah. It's like things you never want to have to do, but you know,
yeah,
it's necessary.
Yeah, man. There's this one time I was gonna tell you a story about the time I was in the same area and we got pushed up a mountain in a snowstorm by a truck.
But okay,
the ending of
some
yours reminded reason. me, the ending of yours reminded me of this time that it was on my very first full US tour, and we brought a friend along who was driving, and we were actually playing Warped Tour in 2009, but we were doing it all ourselves, so we didn't really have a real driver. It was just a buddy of ours.
Okay,
right?
Yeah,
he ran through a red light at like 6 a.m. in Ohio. And we got T-boned by this woman who hit the side of the van. And then we kept going. So the front of her car hit the trailer wheel well
as
and
well.
Ripped off the axle.
God,
right?
Yeah.
But the shitty thing was, and I feel really bad about this, like really bad about it now, is like we were like 19 and 20 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And we come out of the van all groggy because, again, half of us were asleep. All wearing like black, like you said, right? Like laughing. And this poor fucking woman has her car just like totaled in the street. And we get out and we're like, holy shit, what the fuck happened? And then I look over at this poor fucking lady who's crying. And I was like, oh my God. And I ran over. It's like, are you okay? And
man.
I was just like so out of it. And I was like, that was crazy.
That
right?
was insane.
And she was like, you ran a fucking red light, asshole.
Oh my god. Just ruined her morning on the way to work, you know. And you guys you guys are just driving to the next venue, you know, no big deal.
So shitty. But
yeah,
whatever.
I do always
feel
like we're those guys out there amongst people just trying to live their lives when we're like making our way
like this
to the next town. We're just those assholes on the road.
So true, man. The music industry forces like people that should not like be in charge of something that important to be in charge of something.
Right.
And like the way that we
handle we're everywhere
it,
in a normal touring year, dude, we are everywhere on your roads.
Yeah.
You don't even realize
Nope. And the way that we had always handled it in that band was like to kind of just not give a shit.
Yeah.
And like, just have fun with it, right? In retrospect, I don't know if that was the best thing to do, but like it made for a lot of good stories.
Oh yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
For sure.
The
Those
camaraderie,
are some of the best times. Those roughing it times are the best.
Absolutely,
I love it.
Man. I miss it. I'm ready for it again.
I know, right? For real. Well, listen, thank you. This was a lot of fun. Thank you for coming on.
Dude, yeah, it was cool talking to you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm stoked. I hope the tour happens for you guys, because that looks like such a stacked tour.
Yeah.
For Europe. I don't know if you've had any experience touring with the Fit guys, but they are just fucking awesome people.
And yeah, like, I've only had the pleasure of meeting them a few times, but yeah, like to be out on the road with them would be a different experience that I'm looking forward to, hopefully.
I hope you guys get to do that tour, because it'd be a lot of fun for sure.
Heck yeah, man.
But yeah, again, real quick, just before we end totally, if you want to just shout out, you know, where people can find you, social media links, all that stuff. I know you're, what was the most recent single you released? Was it, I just had it. Was it the one beginning with an S, right?
Were you saying Night Shift? Was that?
That wasn't the most recent one though, right?
Oh, okay. I should know this, huh?
maybe I should too, because I just had this in my notes and yeah, I lost it.
We released 4 and
maybe it was Night Shift or at the same time as like Burner, right?
Okay, yeah, I think Night Shift was the video, yeah, and then Burner came out right after that with a visualizer or something.
Yeah, so there was you released a bunch of stuff in the last like 4 or 5 months.
We dropped like 4 singles on the way out to October 16th being the actual release of the album. So the album is out via Spotify, Apple, iTunes. You can hit us up on Twitter. We got Instagram on, you know, just at Kino Giants. It's real simple.
All that stuff. What about Facebook, your stuff?
My personal stuff. I'm on Instagram. It's just Johnny.Reeves, my last name and my first name. No H in the first name there.
There you go.
I'm also on Twitter. It's my handle is Cool Ranch Chip. So, you know, look for me. And then, yeah, those are the only two I really use, Instagram and Twitter.
All right, cool, man. There you go. I don't even use Twitter, so you're one ahead of me.
Hey, man. Yeah.
I think I have a Twitter, but.
You got to get the T on Twitter.
Yeah,
you
know, Tom Hanks.
Yeah. So Josh knows the only thing that I have done with my Twitter, and I think now it's 10 years, has tweeted at Tom Hanks every single tweet.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and he's never responded, and I will not stop until he responds.
He went to Sacramento State. Just he's, you know.
Oh, dude, you don't think I know? I've tried every avenue to get this dude to respond to me. Like, I have written his agent, manager. I had a friend that was working, like, an event he was at, try to talk to him about it.
Yeah.
Like, I am all over it.
And you're just studying this guy. How do you get under his shell, man? How do you
it's
crack
not
this
even
guy?
Like it has nothing, it's just this random thing, there's no like backstory either.
No,
I just
significance
started doing
to it, yeah,
no significance.
All right.
There's like one Facebook post that he made on like his Facebook page or like his fan page, and there's like maybe 1,000 comments, and I'm like 800 of them. I was like, he can't not notice.
You're probably on a watch list, dude. Now. You're probably on Tom Hanks Secret Service watch list.
All right, well, anyway, that'll wrap it for this one. But again, thank you so much for coming on.
All right, Joe,
we'll,
Josh,
we'll stay
dude,
in touch
good
for
to
sure
talk to you guys, man.
Absolutely. And again, hope everything works out with touring and stuff, and we're super excited for your band and your latest release and everything. So
thanks,
we'll be
man.
Keeping an eye for sure.
Awesome, thanks.
All right, dude, thanks again.
Hi, I'm Daniela Clark.
I'm Barbara Ann Wild.
And we are the Honest AF Show.
Our podcast is real honest conversation with our celebrity friends and pros.
Covering our anything but average rock and roll lifestyles.
All while tackling the hell that is aging and the battle of beauty.
Oh yeah, nothing is off the table.
The Honest AF Show is available wherever you get your podcasts.